This is a WMUK News special, the Kalamazoo Mayoral Forum 2019. Candidates running for mayor of Kalamazoo participated in a forum Tuesday night at Western Michigan University's Schneider Hall. It was sponsored by WMUK, Western Michigan University's Institute of Government and Politics, and We Vote, a group dedicated to voter registration at WMU. Questions for the candidates were submitted in advance online and that night by those attending the forum. WMUK's Gordon Evans was the event's moderator.
With that, let's begin with opening statements. And Estevan Juarez, you begin 1 minute.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you guys could be here to hear about what's taking place with our campaigns and some of the ideas we have and some of the things we're presenting to help move this city forward. I just want to speak from my heart real quick, right? I truly believe that one of the reasons that I'm running for mayor is I want to continue to raise the awareness, right, of the things that are taking place within our inner cities, right? But I also want to give you guys perspective too, because being in this position, we can't promise you anything, right? We can fight for things, but we can't sit here and promise you guys anything. We have great ideas and all this other stuff, but we have to abide by the things that are before us when it comes to making decisions for the city and moving the city forward. And I feel, as a servant leader, I can do that. I'm a pastor of a church, I'm director of outreach, and that's part of who I am.
David Anderson, opening statement, 1 minute.
Nice to see everybody tonight. I'm David Anderson, commissioner right now on the City Commission. I can say that the average age of college students has changed, evidently, over the course of time. I was expecting a little younger group. Nice to see everybody. I just want to say one quick thing here to get us started. All of us are running for a part-time job in the city. That's the mayor. The mayor does, as Esto mentioned, does not rule by diktat or executive order. The mayor can lead one way, and that is by bringing people together. And I think there are three qualities you need in order to be able to do that, and I hope you will see that tonight. You need understanding of how city budgets and operations work. You need a wealth of relationships around the city. You need a demonstrated experience working with people across divides to get great things done. I think you will see that I bring those qualities and will take that to the job as mayor to move this city forward.
David Benack, opening statement.
Thank you again for everybody being here. So I teach here at Western, so you would think that this is a comfortable room, but I've actually never been in this building, which is kind of interesting. So I'm happy to be in here, see another part of campus, and glad we've got a bunch of people who are really interested in what's going on in the community. So I'm running for mayor because I love Kalamazoo. And I think Kalamazoo is a city with tremendous potential. I think that we have done a good job reaching a stable place where we are right now. But I think that the speech that Tim Light gave when he talked about two Kalamazoos is very true still today. And it's something that informs the way I think about this job. And I think that that means that we have to get past that divide that separates the two Kalamazoos. Our goal has to be to bring every single person to the table and make sure that Kalamazoo is a community that creates equal opportunities and great opportunities for everyone. Thank you.
All right, we'll move to questions. We'll start the first round of questions with David Anderson. Where has your leadership had an important impact on the city?
I would say I will pick one example, although there are many. I led during an activity that happened 10 years ago in the city when we were working on expanding our anti-discrimination ordinance here in town. And that culminated in an effort in called One Kalamazoo, which I was very involved with, and we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. And that, I think, changed the face of the city in terms of who we welcome and how we look at each other, and what we think of ourselves to be here in Kalamazoo. I think in addition to that, I also was a creator of the Kalamazoo County Public Housing Commission, which has done a great deal of work in helping address issues related to low-income individuals who need housing, people who do not have housing in Kalamazoo. A lot of work to be done, but structures have now been created to address that.
David Benack, same question. Where has your leadership had an important impact on the city?
Thank you. The thing that I would like to highlight as a single issue is the Earth Day Festival. It may seem like a fun throwaway kind of an event, but if you look at it over the past several years, it's been about 3 years in the running now, we have an average of about 70 different community partners who show up and table at that event every single year. We have thousands of people who are there, and some of the people, groups such as Citizens Climate Lobby, who, if you're at all interested in environmental issues, they are at every single thing that ever happens in this community, advocating for their causes. And one of the things that they told me afterwards is that it was the best event that they had ever been to in terms of communicating and educating people. So the thing that I work on, my leadership, is through education, through helping people have the tools and the resources they need to be able to do things to help lift up their neighbors and lift up the community. Thank you.
Esteban Juarez, same question for you. Where has your leadership had an important impact on the city?
Yeah, so two things. GVI, group violence intervention. We target that low percent of individuals who are driving the gun violence, right? So my job in GVI is I go sit face-to-face with those individuals, and I present them with a custom notification letter signed by the chief of police that says, you cannot continue to do these activities or you will be federally indicted or prosecuted in ways where it's not the mandatory, right? And the second paragraph says, but if you need help, if you need support, and you want out of this, we want to give you that. So I walk along the side of those individuals and help them with the small, big things, getting IDs, birth certificates, driver's license, and so on. The second thing is Momentum. It's a 6-week workforce development program that I started 6 years ago. We take people who have significant barriers, who have criminal backgrounds, poor work history, and we get them trained in life skills. And then we put them into technical academies and get
them
good paying jobs.
Thank you. Move on to the next question. We had quite a few come in on housing. We'll start this question with David Benack. This person says that low middle income residents are being forced to pay an exorbitant amount of rent on substandard housing while being shut out of the buyer's market. And they ask, would you be willing to support a limit on the number of properties that can be owned by investors and see that investor-owned properties do not receive tax breaks?
The first part of that, I would have to really check the legality. I don't know if we can limit the number of housing units that a single person can own. The second part, I think, is a better way to get into it, and that's the tax breaks. And I don't think that we should do away with tax breaks for developers or property owners. We just need to use them very wisely. The good example is you can get tax breaks for affordable housing, get tax breaks for historic preservation renovation, you can get tax breaks for anything that's going to help lift up the community. As a local city government, it's just about the most powerful thing we have outside of zoning to encourage the type of development we want. So if we want to have more affordable housing, we just have to accept we are going to have to use tax breaks as one of the ways that we do that. You know, look at brownfield developments. In a sense, a brownfield development is a tax break for a developer to build a property someplace where no one else would have. And that's a good way we could use a tax break and create more affordable housing.
Esteban Juarez, would you be willing to support a limit on the number of properties that can be owned by investors and see that investor-owned properties do not receive tax breaks?
So that's one of those things that's interesting, right? Like David said, the legalities of you know, limiting these individuals to own a bunch of houses, right, and the tax breaks. I think one of the biggest things is we have to use the influence that we have. We have to use the vision that we have and talk to these individuals in ways where they can come together to fix this issue. Now, I truly believe that it could be fixed, but it has to be accountability, transparency, and real conversations with individuals who are building these developments. It can't just be the normal same old, same old. So I truly believe that, yes, we can use tax breaks, but we can also use our influence, the power of influence, to get people to buy in to making Kalamazoo better, to creating a process for affordable housing to low-income people. Influence.
Thank you. David Anderson, same question on limiting tax breaks and the number of properties owned by investors.
I think it's accurate that we don't have the power to limit who can own things in Kalamazoo. However, we do have the power under very strict state and federal rules to provide tax benefits to individuals who are investing here in town, nonprofits and for-profits. And as a matter of fact, that is a great tool that the city of Kalamazoo uses on a regular basis in very prescribed ways. For example, we offer people the opportunity to pay a payment in lieu of taxes rather than ad valorem taxes. And because of that benefit, they are required to provide very specific affordable units in town. That's called low-income housing tax credits. MSHTA and the state of Michigan definitively limit what we can provide in terms of tax breaks for investors, but using those tools, which the city of Kalamazoo does more than any entity in Kalamazoo County, has provided the basis for creating a great deal of affordable housing and will continue to provide the basis of something that I will support for building more.
Thank you. So let's follow up on that question about affordable housing. Somebody else weighed in on this and said there's a lot of discussion about affordable housing, but they say the cost of living in Kalamazoo is already fairly low compared to other parts of the country. So as mayor, what will you do to create opportunities for residents to earn more income so they can afford rent prices? And we'll start this one with Estevan Juarez.
Can you repeat that again?
What will you do, since the cost of living in Kalamazoo is already fairly low, what will you do as mayor to create opportunities for residents to earn more income so they can afford rent?
Yeah, so it depends where you're talking about, because I know of places in my neighborhood where there's families of three or four that are paying anywhere between $800 to $900 to $1,100 for rent, right? So I'm fortunate to have a mortgage. I own my house, right? And I pay somewhere between $300 and $400. So there's this gap, right, of knowledge and education that people need. So when it comes to empowering people to learn about financial literacy, right, giving incentives to people who can go through those courses that like KNHS put on to empower themselves to better their credit, to repair that, and to get a mortgage, right? And so if we can offer incentives for people to get educated in that process, I think people can move from having to pay outrageous prices for rent and become homeowners. I think that's the idea that I want to put forth, is homeownership for people in Kalamazoo.
Thank you. David Anderson, same question for you. What would you do as mayor to create opportunities for residents to earn more income so they can afford rent?
That's the key right there. There is not enough money in the city of Kalamazoo or in social services to help every individual attain an affordable place on their own. The way that we can help the best is by helping people get the skills they need so that they can have better jobs, move up the job ladder. I will put a little plug in right now for a millage request that's coming up for career and technical training that is on our ballot November 5th. 7 out of all 10 jobs that are being created right now do not require a college degree. Good paying jobs that require technical and career kinds of skills. That's the work we need to do. We need to focus here. We are already doing that in the city of Kalamazoo. We are helping people returning from prison get better jobs. We are helping people in our neighborhoods. We are helping contractors who are not licensed get their licenses so they can take advantage of creating wealth for their families. That's the work we've started. That's the progressive work we're doing. And that's what we're going to do more of if I'm mayor.
Thank you. David Benack. Same question for you. What will you do as mayor to create opportunities for residents to earn more income so they can afford rent?
So before answering the question, I want to approach the framing of that. And I think that this question comes from a position of real dangerous privilege. Kalamazoo is an affordable place to live for people who have means. But over 30% of our population is in poverty, and just shy of 60% of our population is working poor. This is not an affordable place for them to live. 60% of our people have jobs and are considered in poverty. That's a big problem. So we can't say it is an affordable community for most of our residents because it's not. What we need to do is create good paying jobs. The best way to do that is to use the power we have in the city to make sure that we have community benefits agreements, project labor agreements on anything that the city agrees to in terms of construction. And we need to make sure that we partner with organized labor to get good paying jobs that are protected, and we have somebody who's going to be there to negotiate and represent workers so that they have good jobs. Thank you.
Esteban, where do you want to take your extra 30 here? Go ahead.
So one of the things that I think about when it comes to the resources and the money we have in the city, the biggest resource we have is us as individuals, right? When we, because throwing money at situations doesn't always fix it, right? I said in the last forum, we have a heart condition in this city. If my neighbor or my brother next to me can help me out, then that's what we need to start doing, is influencing and empowering the communities to stand up and help each other become sustainable and successful.
Thank you. So we had a couple questions about budgeting. We'll start this round with David Anderson. Let's take two questions here and kind of work them in. What will the city need to do to ensure the fiscal stability of Kalamazoo beyond the Foundation for Excellence? And they also want to know another question asked basically, what qualifies you to provide oversight for the budget for the city of Kalamazoo? David Anderson, you go first.
I'll start with the second half first. I've been through 14 budgets at the city. I'm trained as an accountant by this esteemed institution right here. So I've spent a lot of time digging through budgets. I know the inner workings. I know that we also are required to have a balanced budget. And I've also spent a good decade looking every single budget year to cut, painfully cutting staff, cutting infrastructure work that we're doing. What can we do now? We are leveraging the resources of the Foundation for Excellence to invest in our city. And by doing that investment, we are creating a situation where private individuals, where businesses, where small entrepreneurs are also investing in Kalamazoo. People want to live in the city of Kalamazoo. Now you almost can't find a house for sale, as a matter of fact. That's a problem we haven't had. We have investment in Kalamazoo. That's what gives us a property tax base. That's what pays for city services. And that's what we need here in Kalamazoo.
Thank you. David Benack, what will the city do to ensure the fiscal stability of Kalamazoo beyond the Foundation for Excellence, and what qualifies you to provide oversight for the budget?
One of the things that we need to do is look at, the city has a structural deficit, and the Foundation for Excellence is created to help paper over that deficit, but it's not going to be enough in the long run. So how can we work on fixing that structural deficit beyond the Foundation for Excellence? One of the things, we have to look very wisely at what we are doing with our money and where can we have new ideas that are going to really help. Some of the things that we could do that would be forward thinking that other communities are already engaged in. Things such as green infrastructure, if we use that for stormwater runoff, places that are using that are finding 30 to 60% savings on their projects as a result. We could look at including more solar on city buildings. At a city level, the scale, we'd have about a 3-year payoff on that, and then we'd have nearly free electricity for the city. So there's a lot of things we can do. It's just wise use of the resources for long-term planning.
Thank you.
I'm out of time. Thank you.
Esteban Juarez, what will the city need to do to ensure the fiscal stability of Kalamazoo beyond the Foundation for Excellence? And what qualifies you to provide oversight of the city's budget?
So I'm learning more about budgets as I work in the nonprofit sector, right? So I work for Urban Alliance, and I've been working there for 3 years. In the time I've been there, I've been part of a budget that went from $600,000 to $2 million. And so I'm learning a lot about budgets. I'm not the best, but I can tell you this, where I'm weak, I know there's other people who are strong in the city and on the commission that could pick up that slack. And I'm always the student, and I want to learn, right? And that's just part of who I am. To the second part of that question, we gotta find new ideas, innovative ideas. A lot of the property, like David was saying, is not taxable. But how do we create vision and use our influence to get the big institutions to buy into pitching in and helping out, like Western, like Bronson, like all these other institutions that can really help, right? So I think it's about bringing people together and having that conversation.
So we'll move on to our next question and start with David Benack. In Southwest Michigan, policy and spending discussions often focus on solving problems through growth, such as new building and arena projects that give tax money to developers and major real estate owners with the idea that benefits will trickle down. How can we invest directly in Kalamazoo residents and existing infrastructure instead?
My favorite quote by one of my favorite writers, Edward Abbey, growth for the sake of growth is the mindset of the cancer cell. So if the sake of growing is growing for the sake of growing, there's really no point in doing it. If we're growing the city for the sake of improving our economy, that's a different argument. So we have to be very intentional of our goals. An arena is just, I'm sorry, it's. I think it's a really, really bad idea, particularly the plan is in part to have Western run it, which we already have arenas. We don't need to have one downtown that we'll then run and we'll take up more parking and won't help us. What we need to do, invest in education, invest in technical training, invest in better infrastructure for the city, invest in one of the things that I want to use the Foundation for Excellence money to do is to create a free system of daycare and childcare in the city.
Estevan Juarez. In Southwest Michigan, policy and spending discussions often focus on solving problems through growth, such as new building and arena projects that give tax money to developers and major real estate owners with the idea that benefits will trickle down. How can we invest directly in Kalamazoo residents and existing infrastructure instead?
Yeah, I truly believe what David said. If we're going to grow, let's not grow for the intentions of growing. But the reality is with trickle down, if you look at a plant, the roots is where the nutrients needs to be, and then it comes up, right? So investing in people, investing in trades, investing in technical academies like we're doing with Momentum, giving people the opportunity to learn these skills so that they can better themselves. So if we want to see growth in the city, we have to invest in the most important part of the city, and that's people, right? And so my goal is to invest in people, giving people those opportunities to get those jobs and those contracts to help develop not just downtown, but in the communities. I want to see things in the Edison neighborhood, in the north side, the east side, the Vine neighborhood that are vibrant, buildings that are beautiful, that are built by local individuals, local contractors.
David Anderson. Same question.
So the basic question is, how can we invest in ourselves? And I can tell you this, that there are a limited number of ways we can invest in ourselves as a city. We can use the proceeds that we get from our property taxes, and now we can use additional resources that are coming from the Foundation for Excellence. So that is the resource base that we have. And this investment in ourselves includes investing in our infrastructure, our parks, our streets, our sidewalks, walkability. It also includes investing in the people in Kalamazoo. And I can tell you that we have a very unique opportunity right now that we did not have just a few short years ago in 2016. With the resources of the Foundation for Excellence, we can now invest in people in Kalamazoo. And if you look across the programs, we just had a two-year anniversary presentation, our City Commission meeting last night, about the work of Imagine Kalamazoo and the Foundation for Excellence. Look it up on the website.
Thank you.
That investment is starting, and I want to grow
it. So let's follow that up with another question on infrastructure. And we'll start this one with Estevan Juarez. As mayor, will you support bold infrastructure initiatives such as free citywide Wi-Fi so that every resident can reliably access internet-based opportunities to education and income?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Holy smokes, right? I had an opportunity with an individual in our neighborhood who came to Urban Alliance, and they're like, man, I need help. I got online classes. I don't have a computer. I don't have Wi-Fi. So what we did is when we went out and bought her a computer, right? She has a family of four. She's a single mother. And we supported her in that way. And I think the city can do that. Those are simple things, the small, big things that go a long ways, right? So a lot of people, Wi-Fi is one of those things where, like, my kids, they'd be like, what happened to the Wi-Fi? We turned it off because you guys are on Wi-Fi too much and you're watching YouTube all the time, right? And so it gives people the access to be able to do things that they otherwise couldn't do. So, like, for people from my community who don't have cars, who can't come to Western and take a class, but can get on the computer and use the Wi-Fi that the city provides. Those are innovative ideas. Those are so sweet, and we need more of those ideas. We need a ton of those ideas so that we can continue to support our people, right?
David Anderson, same question on bold infrastructure initiatives such as free citywide Wi-Fi.
So there are a lot of great ideas, and I don't dismiss this idea as being a good idea. But despite the fact that we now have the assistance of the Foundation for Excellence, we don't just have an open cash drawer that any good idea that comes along, we can spend money on that. Right now, we are in a situation, the city of Kalamazoo, where we still have to make choices when it comes to our budget. We've got $185 million to spend, but there are hard things that we have to pay for. And as a matter of fact, we have not been investing in our own basic infrastructure here in Kalamazoo that no one else will pay for. No nonprofit is going to improve our water system, fix our sanitary sewers, take care of storm sewers, fix our streets. So a lot of our resources are going to our city infrastructure. So there are many choices we make every budget season about how we're going to allocate the resources we have. And I would say, start with the basics, invest in our people, look for good ideas that we can afford, be innovative, but do it all at the same
time. Thank you. David Banach, same question. Free citywide Wi-Fi or other bold infrastructure initiatives, would you support them?
Everybody, I don't make I don't hide that my passion is the environment. And if I could just do nothing other than work on environmental issues every day, then that would make me really happy, and that would be great. But the city's biggest issue is poverty and homelessness. And I think that probably most people agree on that. And if we want to be serious about dealing with poverty, we have to do things like free Wi-Fi. You cannot be a regular first-class citizen with access to a good-paying job, with access to information, with access to information about childcare, with find ways to find job or healthcare or any of the things you need if you cannot get online. If we want to move people up out of poverty, we need to make sure that everybody has equal access to the information, because we live in an era where information is the currency of the realm.
Another 30 for okay. Estevan Juarez.
Go ahead. So perspective is key in this moment. We have to look at things from the lens of what are the most important things in the city, right? So in my neighborhood, the things I see and witness are things like this. A single mother who's addicted to drugs who pimps out her 12-year-old daughter to get more drugs. A mother who gives their children heroin so they can sleep so they can do their drugs. So we can talk about things and infrastructure stuff, but we're neglecting the fact that there's things in our community that need to be addressed.
Thank you. So we had a few questions come in on climate change. We'll start this round with David Anderson. Yesterday, the city of Kalamazoo declared a climate emergency. What are your plans to move Kalamazoo forward as a regional environmental leader?
I have been passionate about environmental issues for decades and decades. And as a matter of fact, early in my life, I determined that it would be best for me to attempt to live off the grid, which I did for several years, experience a lifestyle where I had a plant-based diet to be more environmentally responsible. So that is part of who I am. Since I've been in the City Commission, I've been the liaison to the Environmental Concerns Committee, our advisory committee at the city, relative to environmental issues. In the last few years now, as the recognition is now becoming more present about the problems with climate change. We are going to do what the city does, which is we work with community members. We are having a community engagement process. Through that engagement process, we will create plans for our city, not alone, with all citizens, and I will be happy to lead those efforts.
Thank you. David Benack, same question on plans to move Kalamazoo forward as a regional environmental leader.
I thank the City Commission for the emergency declaration. I thank all of the community members who worked really hard to make that happen. There's a lot of them in the audience today. I'm glad to see it. But let's just, that was that. That's the start. That's the ground floor. Now we need to build on that, because that's not a plan. That's not what we're doing going forward. What we need to do going forward is set some real hard targets that will make us a regional leader, as the question implies. We have other communities that are far ahead of us. We need to start replacing our fleet, our city fleet, with electrical vehicles. We need to put solar on every city building. We need to use green infrastructure in our stormwater management plans. We need to continue to advance the Complete Streets Initiative so we have more public transit, as well as making it easier in this city for people to bike and walk and use other means of transport other than automobiles or private automobiles. And I could go on for a while, as you might imagine. Thanks.
Esteban Juarez. The question is plans to move Kalamazoo forward as a regional environmental leader.
So I'm sorry to do this, but can we just give a round of applause? Because that was a big win yesterday, right? That was a big win for us, for the city to declare that, right? Come on, let's give a big round of applause for that, right? Yeah, right? I'm proud of that. Our city is moving forward, right? And so one of the things that I think about when it comes to this environmental stuff is education. Growing up in the inner city, I didn't really care about recycling because nobody ever taught me how to do that. You know, growing up, both my parents were crack addicts, and in the late 80s when the crack epidemic hit the urban communities, it destroyed the urban communities. So there's a lot of things that urban communities don't know. We got to get the proper education out and the proper information out so people can learn how to do this kind of stuff, right? So me and my family and my kids were learning how to recycle. The city provides free recycling. We need to continue to build on upon those ideas. How do we get some of these waste management places to buy into moving Kalamazoo forward in a way where it's environmental friendly? Right?
David Benack for an extra 30.
All right, of course, on this one. But I think one of the things that we have to do if we're going to move this issue forward is really work on framing. And that's one of the things that really came out of the whole concept of the Green New Deal. We need to recognize climate change as not just climate change. It's also environmental health. It's also good jobs. It's also creating social justice. And we frame it in those terms and we get the public support and we actually get wins and we make good things happen. So a lot of this is framing and we recognize that this is good for the public.
Thank you. David Anderson?
Since the mayor does not set the agenda alone, how does it work? Here's how we're being successful in the city, and this is what I'm committed to. Community engagement. If you look at the community engagement process we had to create Imagine Kalamazoo, which has created buy-in across the city, the community engagement we had when we created the natural features protection, zoning overlay, that is the work, that is what I'm committed to, the community engagement piece, because that is going to drive our agenda. That's
Thank
what
you.
We will do for our climate change
Thank
agenda.
You. Esteban Juarez, take your extra 30 here.
So part of what I think I could do is be strategic and look to the future, right? So if we don't have a plan that starts to address this awareness, right, and this climate crisis thing, if we don't have a plan, a short-term plan, a mid-term plan, and a long-term plan to see these things happen, we'll just let it go in the wind like everything else, right? I've seen things be put in motion, but not done with anything, not done with it, right? So we have to be strategic. We have to be intentional. And we have to put that plan together in a way where everybody's included.
Thank you.
You are listening to a WMUK News special, the Kalamazoo Mayoral Forum 2019. Candidates running for Kalamazoo mayor answered questions on a variety of topics that were submitted online and by people who attended Tuesday night's forum at Schneider Hall on the campus of Western Michigan University.
So we have a question on marijuana. We'll start this one with David Benack. What is your relationship to marijuana? Do you use or invest, or does your family invest in this industry? And what positive and negative impacts do you think it would have?
News ready on this one? Yes, I do use marijuana.
No applause till the end.
And I do grow it in my basement. I think that this is the reality of the world we live in. Yeah, this is the fastest growing economic sector in the country right now. 2 years ago, the cannabis industry grew by, I think it was 20% in employment. Last year, it grew by 40% in employment on top of that. So, of course, we're looking at numbers where it started from illegal to legal, so those are a little bit misleading. But this is some place where we can employ a lot of people. And this is a social justice issue. This is an issue where we can help people who have been hurt by the war on drugs. This is also some place where Kalamazoo is really uniquely situated to prosper because we're surrounded by high-quality agricultural land, and we have the industrial infrastructure in our community to create industrial hemp products.
Thank you. Estevan Juarez, same question on marijuana, your relationship to it. Do you use and invest? Does your family invest? And what positive and negative impacts do you think it would have?
So I used to use a long time ago, not anymore. But this kind of thing hits really hard on my heart because I'm torn by the fact that the majority now is saying that it's okay. But when I've seen my people suffer for something they've been persecuted against, but now the majority says it's okay now. It's bullshit, right? And on the other side, it's like, well, everybody's doing it. You know, it can create those opportunities. But what I've seen, the damage that it did in our communities, in my people's lives, in the African-American communities, for us to sit and stand and say it's okay to do it now, come on. And then, you know, you're faced with that, well, now everybody's doing it, so it's okay. Again, bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's my stance.
David Anderson, sorry. The same question for you. Same question for you on marijuana, your relationship to it, and what positive and negative impacts do you think it would have?
So I love these 10-part questions with 1 minute to answer. So I'll try to move through this quickly. I don't currently imbibe, but also I also don't drink a great deal of beer, and don't tell anybody that because we are Cayman number two as far as a beer city and competition, but I support all our local breweries. I also support legal marijuana in the city of Kalamazoo. As a matter of fact, I was very instrumental in helping create our local rules for medical marijuana, which we finished some time ago. We're going through that process. I'm also part of making sure we have great local rules to support adult use marijuana here in Kalamazoo. That's going to require a certain amount of nuance. We want to make sure we use best practice. The City Commission decided to do a delayed opt-in. We intend to opt in. We are particularly focused on making sure that we take advantage of the social equity portion that is available to individuals in 42 communities in Michigan who have had a disparate impact.
Thank you.
We want to do that
in
Kalamazoo.
So it's one of those things when you talk about social equity and the individuals who have been impacted by that and the financial stability that they have. So we talk about it like, and we use this word equity, like it's one of those things that it's general. If you look at it from my context and my perspective, and you look at it from their perspective or your perspective, we will all come up with a different definition of equity. And so it's one of those things where this industry has created a process for the man who has the money to capitalize and corner the market.
Thank you.
That's what's happening.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was finishing about industrial hemp products, and this is something that I think is really important, and it's something that we have to take advantage of. Particularly the thing that I'm most excited about in this area is bioplastics. The ability to make plastic out of hemp, that is an agricultural commodity that we can create here in an industrial setting, and it creates biodegradable plastics that will help save us from one of the biggest environmental scourges we're facing.
If you look at the rules for adult use, they're not clear right now, unfortunately. And the final rules are not written yet. We're hoping that there will be clearer final rules for what we can do in Kalamazoo. But I can tell you that I've already been spending time with local small size growers who are doing that work, and I want to make sure as much as possible for what input we will have that local individuals can benefit from this new opportunity to participate in a legal adult use marijuana market.
Thank you. So our next question, we will begin with David Anderson. I'm sorry. Yes, we'll begin with David Anderson on this one. We talked about affordable housing and homelessness earlier, but this question is specifically about seniors. What policy changes can be made at the city level to help seniors stay in their own homes?
Okay, that's an interesting question, but I will say one thing. Big, big question to answer. But here is a policy change that we undertook, and this is what the result of it was. And this is the kind of thing I want to do going forward. This year, in the city of Kalamazoo, for the first time, there were no owner-occupied foreclosures for tax foreclosures in the city of Kalamazoo. And that means that there were a lot of seniors who were living in their homes in the past who lost those homes because they could not afford to pay their property taxes. We partnered with our county treasurer. The mayor and I went out and knocked on doors, and people did not respond to letters. We made sure that no senior in the city of Kalamazoo lost their home to tax foreclosure. That is the kind of work that is on the ground, important work that I will continue to focus on if I'm elected mayor.
David Benack, policy changes at the state level that would help seniors stay in their own homes.
Thank you. This is another issue that's really important to me. It's actually the reason why when our state attorney general, Dana Nessel, was in town yesterday, day before, she invited me to be part of her panel on senior issues to talk about these kind of topics with the community. And there are a lot of things that we can do. We can look at tax relief programs. We can look at the problems that people have staying in their homes. And the thing that studies consistently show as the biggest obstacle is healthy living and home, just home chores, like mowing the lawn, taking care of the house. And we can do that. And one of the best ways, we've got some of these programs already in place, intergenerational opportunities where younger people volunteer with older part members of our community to help them with these tasks that they need. It also helps the older generation to feel more engaged with the community and not to feel ostracized.
Thank you. Esteban Juarez, same question on changes in policy at the city level to help seniors stay in their homes.
I think one of those things is for policies, you know, the tax stuff, awesome stuff. But I truly believe that we have to build community. So in my community, I know my neighbor next to them, my neighbor next to them, about 5 to 10 houses down, 5 to 10 houses the other way, right? So when we can empower community to sustain each other, to help each other, to love each other, care for each other, we can see these things be diminished in ways that are extraordinary, right? But that means that we have to be intentional about building relationships. That means we have to get out of our bubble and change our perspective about people, right? And actually have a heart to care. And so when you start to see that kind of stuff happen, you'll start to see change when it comes to seniors, when it comes to housing, when it comes to homelessness, intentional relationships to sustain communities, right? Building those not just having that construct, right, of your neighbor, but building true relationships.
Thank you. David Anderson, you wanted to weigh in for another 30?
One thing that I love about this process is that I didn't know Esto before we started this. And Esto is a man who speaks from his heart. And I couldn't agree with you more about what you're saying. And that is that as we build the structural components of our community, we need to build the relational components of our community across generations, across neighborhoods, and I believe that in Kalamazoo, the value that we lead with is a value that we all share, and that's building a Kalamazoo that leaves no one behind.
So we'll move on to the next question, and we will begin with David Benack. Would you favor changing the city's method for electing city commissioners to a ward system so that commissioners would be elected to represent a certain area of the city?
Yes. I think that having the at-large commission it deprives us of having real representation on the commission. Now, we currently have very good representation on the commission in terms of geography and spread across the city and in terms of diversity, but that's an anomaly in the history of our commission. Having a community or a ward-based system gives people the opportunity to know who their commissioner is. They know the person who lives three blocks down the road is the person who they go talk to because that person is going to listen to them and take their concerns to the commission. That is going to help the commission better represent the people. It's going to help the commission better look like the people that we represent, and it's going to make the whole thing more effective. Thank you.
Esteban Juarez, same question. Would you favor a ward system for the city commission?
That's a hard question because, like, our county does that already, right? They have representation from each district that represents the county, right? And so I think that would work in the city, but it's kind of like one of those sci-fi movies that you watch, right? And there's all kinds of different, like, alien species represented at the council. And it's like that, right? It's like coming together and having that kind of idea, right? Where we all have a buy-in. So the last time that the commission had a Hispanic individual representing was a long time ago. David Juarez, right? No relation, but that's crazy. That's nuts that my people can't be represented on this commission, right? And so we have to have the proper representation. We do. And maybe it is a ward system. Maybe it's not. But we have to figure that out because it's important to have the proper representation to work together, to collaborate together, to see these efforts be done in a way where it's equitable and equality,
you.
Right? Equality and equity.
Thank you. David Anderson, same question on a ward-based system for the city commission.
So I don't personally support the change of our city constitution, called the charter, to create a ward system in the city of Kalamazoo. However, that's really not my decision. That is a decision of all the residents of the city of Kalamazoo, because any change in our charter requires a vote from everybody. I don't think there is a perfect system, as a matter of fact. Battle Creek, next door to us, has a ward and an at-large system, and I've had serious discussions with people from Battle Creek about some of the challenges of the ward system in terms of looking at the city as a whole. I think it is important that we do recognize that all portions of the city are represented. And it is not a total anomaly. We have had, over time, fairly good representation, although it's not perfect. However, I think a ward system in a city the size of Kalamazoo, it would not be the best way to go. I don't think that helps everybody think of how we are all in it together. I think it sets us against each other.
David Benack, you want to take another 30?
So the campaign that I'm running, we're mainly reaching out directly to people at doors. Yeah, we've knocked on, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of doors. You can see I've got holes in the bottom of my shoes, and literally, I've got another pair of boots at the getting repaired right now. But I could knock on doors in Winchell, West Niche Hill, and Millwood, and no place else, and get elected, because those are the areas that vote, and they have the ability to send people to the commission, and other areas of town aren't going to vote until they have somebody who represents them.
So our next question, and this one will begin with Esteban Juarez. We've had some discussion tonight about the Foundation for Excellence, but we have a question here about whether or not being dependent upon private, civic, corporate foundations and charities fosters favoritism, corporate influence, and prevents corporations from paying their fair share in keeping Kalamazoo flourishing. So this person wants to know, what would you do to diminish or eliminate the necessity of being dependent upon those private interests? Esteban Juarez, you start.
I think we have to be careful because the temptation is to believe that. But individuals who give millions of dollars of their own money to better a city, that's not natural. That's like, that's crazy. And I think that when you're generous that way, for me, I'm a man of faith, right? I believe in, you reap what you sow, right? I think we need to encourage more people like this, right? We need to encourage people who live in other cities that have this kind of money, who want to be able to help move their cities forward. So the temptation is to believe that they're going to get some kind of you know, special treatment. Well, I mean, if I gave, you know, all these millions of dollars, I would expect, not expect, I would want people to know that it was generosity that caused that, not some me getting the upper hand to be the better myself. Now, that's the temptation to believe, right? We got to be careful
Thank
about
you.
That.
Thank you. David Anderson. A person wants to know how you diminish or eliminate the necessity of being dependent upon private, civic, corporate foundations and charities.
The response that was developed through the Foundation for Excellence is an imperfect response to a flawed situation. The city is in large measure in the situation it is because federal resources have diminished over time. The money that we get from HUD has been cut almost every single year. State shared revenue has been reduced over time, creating our structural deficit. Promises that were made in the past have not been kept. When the Foundation for Excellence was created, great effort was made to disconnect donors from any choices that were made on spending. The spending is made fully and totally by the elected city commissioners for every dollar that gets spent in the city. In addition, it is managed by a public nonprofit board, the Foundation for Excellence Board, that has all its meetings in public, all its interactions and communications, all must be done under the auspices of the Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. David Benack, the question is about diminishing or eliminating the necessity of being dependent upon private, civic, and corporate foundations and charities.
I am grateful that wealthy people have decided to support our city in this way. But I am troubled that our city has to depend on this. How would we feel if we learned that the state of Michigan was going to go bankrupt unless General Motors threw a bunch of money into the state pockets? You know, how would we feel if the federal government was going to go bankrupt and it couldn't manage to pay its bills unless Microsoft and Google decided to pay the bills for us? I find that problematic, and I find that not to be a solution to the problem. The problem is that we have a structural deficit. Finding an outside pot of money and dropping it into that hole is not fixing the structural deficit. It is putting a patch over a pothole. That is not a solution. We need to find a solution for the problem.
David Anderson, you want 30 more seconds on that? Go ahead.
I agree there needs to be broader solutions, and those perhaps are solutions that are going to trickle down from a national level, I hope. We created a blue ribbon panel at the city of Kalamazoo and brought a bunch of people together to try to find solutions that we had control over here in Kalamazoo. I can tell you, very little came up after extensive work. And we found that there were some one-off things we could do that solved momentary problems, but in terms of a long-term solution, there wasn't one available to us right now. This is the best we have, and we're making the best of it.
Von Juarez?
So I don't think it's dependency, you know what I mean? I think it's people who really care and want to help, right? And so in the midst of that help, we need to, as a city, get innovative, using the resources we have in the city, like Western, like KVCC, like these institutions, to create these solutions, right? We have so much talent that we're not pulling from. And so this gives us a chance to be able to build those collaborations and create sustainable solutions with the resources we already have here, right?
Thank you. David Benack.
So there is at least a partial solution that has been discussed many times and has had some progress and some movement forward. We have not gotten all the way there, though. And I think it is a solution that we need to take back up and we need to discuss. It's the same way that Grand Rapids fills their issue of funding, and that is a city income tax. Grand Rapids has a 1% income tax for people who live and work in the city, a 0.5% income tax for people who live outside of the city and work in. The vast majority of our workforce lives outside of the city and doesn't pay any taxes.
Thank you. It's time for closing statements.
Oh, okay.
And we will begin with David Anderson. You have 1 minute.
1 minute.
1 minute.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's been great. Here is why I am here this moment, and that is this. Years ago, when I first started attending this grand institution, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and I felt lost. And I dropped out, and I was discouraged about what was going on in the world way back then, just like I'm discouraged about what's going on in the world sometimes right now. And I left Kalamazoo, and I thought I would never come back. And I went to create a life for myself that I thought was going to be a much better life. I moved with people to try to create a new community together, to try to create a more ideal world. And I found out that that didn't work. And I also found out if I want to make a change, I need to do it in community. I came back to Kalamazoo, and the work that I have been doing for the last 30 years in neighborhoods, on the commission, on volunteer boards, building relationships, trying to help Kalamazoo be a better place for everybody, is the work I want to continue to do as your mayor in Kalamazoo.
David Benack, your closing statement, 1 minute.
We have a unique opportunity in front of us. It's been a very long time since we've elected a new mayor. And this is an opportunity for us to set a course that's going to be a new future for the city. I think that that future has to bring some new priorities. We have to do better with dealing with poverty. As I said, 30% of our population is in poverty, 60% roughly is working poor. We have to do better in dealing with environmental protections. The worst air quality in the state of Michigan is in Southwest Michigan. We have to do better in preventing violence. We had more shootings in 2019 by August than we did in all of 2018. We need to do better with health care in this community, more healthy outcomes. We have a 7-year difference in the life expectancy for black and white people in Kalamazoo. We need a new direction. We need initiatives. We need bold ideas.
Thank you. Estevan Juarez, your closing statement, 1 minute.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight. You know, I hear about a lot of the we need to do, right? But I think this city needs a servant leader. Somebody who's going to be on the front line, who's going to be bold and take a stance against the things that aren't right. We need to switch the narrative from who's right to what's right. And we need to be a city that does what's right. And I believe as a servant leader, a bold servant leader, I can continue to do that kind of stuff. Because when we talk about we need to do, I'm doing that stuff. I'm helping with gun violence. I'm helping with creating opportunities with jobs and working with the lowest of the low, right? The low income and the forgotten. That's my heart. But collectively, we need to do that together. In order to see a vibrant Kalamazoo, we need to come together and forget about our differences and bring the things we have to make Kalamazoo better for everybody, right? And so as your mayor, I'll be a bold leader taking a stance on situations where others won't.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you for your questions, all very good ones. Sorry for the ones we were not able to get to in the time we had. Remember that Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th, and at that time, Kalamazoo will elect a new mayor to a 2-year term. You'll also be electing 3 members to the City Commission who will serve 4-year terms. On behalf of the Institute of Government and Politics and We Vote here at Western Michigan University, thank you and good evening.
The forum for candidates running for mayor of Kalamazoo was held Tuesday night at Western Michigan University's Schneider Hall. It was co-sponsored by WMUK, Western Michigan University's Institute of Government and Politics, and ReVote, a voter registration group at WMU. A forum for candidates running for Kalamazoo City Commission was held October 1st. That can be found at WMUK.org and the WMUK app.